prosecutors theorised that Scott's plan was to leave Yarmila's body in the pool to be found the next day.
Sorry, you what? Definitely just said yeet. Oh his gosh. Plan was to yeet her body into the pool.
Do you love a good ghost story? Tales of the paranormal? And sightings of the unexplained? If so, the Paranormal Exposed podcast is right up your alley. Join me every Wednesday as I guide you through a new spooky episode. Listen in as I give you the spooky stories and the facts to back them up, or poke a few holes in their stories. Whether you are a skeptic or a believer, this is a great way to explore and to expose the paranormal.
What's up, witches?
Hi, I'm Claudia.
And I'm Jess.
And welcome to True Crime Coven. It's 2024, not right now when we're recording, but it will be when it comes out.
Oh God, come at us, 2024.
Honestly, I'm not normally like a new year, new me kind of person, but oh my God.
You feel like
I'm
you
not
going
to dwell on it, but like, please, can this year be better, please?
It will be. We're going to make it better. We're going to manifest
it. We're all in this together, and it shows when we stand
hand in hand.
Are we going to get copyrighted for that? Because we did such a spot on rendition.
Yeah, I mean... I'm definitely Ashley.
Come at me, Disney. Don't come at me,
Disney.
Don't. They will.
They're that petty, they would. I mean, I like Disney films as much as the next person, but I don't want
but
them coming
But we all know that you cannot die in their parks. They will move you.
Nothing bad ever happens at Disney.
Nothing.
Nothing.
I've never seen a kid die. Did they cry?
Wow. Wow.
Oh, coming in strong. So 2024, I am starting a new job. You're going back to uni.
Yeah.
And
looking
the podcast logo
it.
Will have changed.
Oh.
Oh.
Hang on. Someone's at the door.
Someone's knocking at your door. Somebody's ringing the bell. How? Just whilst I've got you all here, how loud was that doorbell?
Sorry, it was the postman. He tried to deliver something this morning, but I answered the door and he was dressed as what's the cat from like Tweety Pie and
Sylvester.
He was dressed in that and I was like,
what?
That's not even Christmassy, right? And I was like, hello.
Why was he dressed in that? What kind of postman have you got?
I don't know. But he was just stood there and he was
also,
like, hello.
It's 6:45.
Yeah. And he was like, did you get my note this morning? And I was like, please explain who you are. And he was like, oh, I'm the postman. And I was like, okay. He's like, I'm from Royal Mail. I left you a note. And I was like, oh, yeah, the one that's on the floor that I'm currently stood on. But basically, Aiden just had something out for special delivery because he needed it before Christmas. They sent him the wrong thing and then they had to resend it. It's a palaver. But anyway, that's what it was. But he did not explain who he was. And he was just stood there like... And I was like looking at him through the peephole. And I was like, do I answer the door to this crazy man?
Also, you say you're from Royal Mail. But what?
Yeah, I was like, but why are you dressed as Sylvester the cat?
This is all very odd.
That was a very bizarre experience. How loud is my doorbell, by the way?
I know, I said that when you were left.
Yeah, it's because it's one that plugs in, and it's plugged in literally just outside this door, so we can hear it on all three levels.
Well.
Sorry about that.
Anyway, before we were rudely interrupted, I can't remember where we were. But anyway, yes, we'll have a lovely new logo, lovely new season format, and welcome to True Crime Coven 2024.
New and improved. True Crime we Coven hope. 0.2.
And so we're going to start off the year with a true crime case. Now, it is a bit of a short true crime case, but that isn't as we mean to go on. We will have longer ones again, but this one just happens to be a little bit short. Shall we crack on with it?
Yeah, let's go.
So, sleepwalking murders, also known as homicidal sleepwalking. Something that sounds like the worst nightmare you could imagine. I was actually listening to another podcast and they covered someone who had sleepwalked, and I wanted to look more into it. I wasn't necessarily going to cover it, but I was just a bit like, oh, this
that's
is
interesting. I mean, you don't
very, yeah.
Not that you hear of murders every day, but it's not something you hear of every day.
No, and it's something that is very not black and white, isn't it? It's got shades of grey, as I think we've highlighted throughout the last 2 years, every murder
every podcast has grey areas.
Every murder, every crime has grey areas. I think that's life.
Yeah, definitely.
Everything's nuanced. But this is something that is really, first of all, you have to establish if someone really is sleepwalking, and then you have to establish, does that mean that they're not responsible? It gives layers.
Yes.
So I started looking into that and I found someone else. Well, actually, there's been quite a few cases and I did want to cover quite a few, but I ended up covering just one case. And I've just kind of realised I'm very happy I don't sleepwalk.
We could do a part two. I know that's not...
We could do a part two.
It's not really in our theme, but hey, new year, new us. We do part twos now.
We've done a part two before.
We have done a two-parter.
Yeah.
We could do a part two.
But yeah, so I'm very happy that I don't sleepwalk. Like, imagine waking up and finding that you've done the completely unthinkable and it being true. Because currently, have I told you about my recurrent nightmare I have at the moment?
No.
So it's kind of taken the place of... So I think I've mentioned before that my nightmare before was that I hadn't done the preparation for an exam, or I hadn't done the work for a class, okay, and suddenly I'm in the class and I'm like... Ah. So that's been my nightmare for years. And I still have that a little bit. But what's kind of taken its place is that I've killed someone. And I think it was accidental. And everyone knows they're dead, but I've kind of gotten away with it. But for some reason, I have some of their remains, like, in my house.
Creepy.
I don't know why. And I have to, like, hide them. And it's really I feel really guilty and awful and nervous. And I think it's someone I care about as well.
Yeah.
That I've accidentally murdered. So I have to, like, kind of be... Like, people talk to me about it because they're talking about them. And it's all awful and I feel awful. And everything's awful.
That's
and I wake up
dream.
And I'm so happy that I haven't killed someone. And I think maybe I need to stop listening to true crime to go to sleep.
Maybe.
But that is my current nightmare, and I'm just very happy that I get to wake up and it not be true.
Yes. Yeah.
I can't imagine waking up and thinking, that was crazy, or not even having any recollection and then finding out.
Oh my God, Yeah, like hearing someone... has died sad enough without
awful.
The layers of they've been murdered, oh by the way it was you,
yeah,
like that's just crazy layers of like grief, guilt, I don't even know, like so much at once.
I honestly don't know what I would do.
Yeah,
I don't know what I'd do if I accidentally killed someone, i.e. like, you know, was driving and got into a crash.
I ran over a fox that was already dead once and cried about it.
Yeah, I mean, I literally break for birds, so
yeah.
I can't imagine.
Yeah,
what, I mean, I wouldn't like to accidentally be responsible or even involved in someone's death.
Yeah,
I mean, I have been involved in people's deaths because of
but
work,
not
but you
directly
know what I mean.
As the cause of it.
No, and I. Can't imagine being the direct cause and not knowing about it or not being awake for it. But that is if you believe that people are capable of killing people whilst they're asleep. And that is what we're going to get into. So what if you hadn't been sleepwalking? And what if sleepwalking just seemed like the perfect cover-up? Because, of course, there are some that don't believe you could kill another human being and remain asleep throughout. However deep that sleep may be. And that's the thing I believe as well, from looking into sleep stages slightly. I'm by no means an expert or very well read up on them. sleepwalking occurs between the light sleep stage and the deep sleep stage, which obviously aren't even the actual words for the stages.
Yeah.
So it isn't actually a deep sleep. It's sort of an in-between.
Is it kind of like...
make it harder for someone to wake up?
Is that kind of like... is it kind of... what's the word? Like lucid dreaming. You know, when you're like in between like the dreaming and light sleep, but this is like the other way where you're in between like the dreaming and heavy sleep kind of vibe?
Just, I don't know.
No, you know what? I'm just making, I'm just making stuff up here. But
I thought you were asking me. I was like, I just said I did light reading.
I skim read. I read the title.
Exactly. I also definitely thought you said skin red, as in like skinwalker, and I was like, don't bring that.
Oh God, no!
Now I brought them up. And then of course there's oh my God, I can't speak. And then of course there's the debate of responsibility. If a person kills another person whilst asleep, are they still culpable for the murder, or are they absolved of all blame as they weren't in control of their actions at the time? A French study carried out in 2013 found that 58% of the 140 sleepwalkers at a sleep disorder centre that they studied showed violent behaviour in their sleep. 31% of the violence was directed towards themselves, and 46% of the violent behaviour was towards their partner sleeping beside them, which I would like to say is maybe because of
them just
the
being
vicinity.
Yeah. That was the first thing I thought as well. Like, not directly, like, because they hate them, but just because they're there.
Yeah.
I wonder if it's partly, like, hallucinating as well. Like, because if they're not a violent person, maybe they feel threatened and that's why they feel like they have to be violent.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know, and I don't think the experts know. I think it is all very up in the air because we only understand so much about dreaming.
Yeah.
Let alone mental, sleepwalking.
Interesting how many were violent towards themselves.
Yeah. And I don't know what that says about their psyche, and I don't know if perhaps how you feel about yourself in real life would influence that.
Yeah.
Another reason why I'm very happy I don't sleepwalk. because I'm not known to have the highest self
esteem.
Self-esteem, that's the word. See, I can't even think about it because I have so little.
It's not even in my vocabulary. Vocabulary?
Exactly. None of us can speak today. Neither of us.
None of us are good at language.
The J is for genius. They also observed that those who started sleepwalking at a younger age had a higher frequency of violent behaviours that resulted in injuries, and that this was often paired with night terrors. So I don't really understand why the younger age thing would result in violent behaviours, but I understand the night terrors.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense. But yeah, younger... I wonder... I was going to say something really stupid. I was like, I wonder if it's just something that develops, like, the more experienced you get. And I was like, you don't get experience just sleepwalking.
Like, you unlock levels. As you go.
Yeah, you power up. No, that's a really bad way.
You've unlocked the able to kill whilst you're asleep.
I shouldn't joke about that, but...
No, but I just did.
So it's fine.
It's just, yeah, I mean, depends whether we believe that people can do it.
Yeah.
So, Jess, are you ready to discuss today's case of a sleepwalking murder?
Always.
So, trigger warnings for this, I would say there aren't really any other than we're clearly discussing murder and it's upsetting. But no particular trigger warnings.
Okay.
So, our case today is that of Scott Folletta, and we begin in 1997. I was originally going to pronounce it Folletta, but then I saw a website make a joke about how his name is Folletta. And fellatio. So unfortunately I realised that it is pronounced fellatio. So it's not me mispronouncing it, I'm afraid.
It is fellatio.
That is his last name.
Yeah.
So we begin in 1997 when Scott was working as a Motorola engineer and his wife, Yamila Kleskin, I think I said her name right and I'm really sorry if I didn't, was working as an aide in preschool. The two had met in high school, where they began dating, going on to get married in 1976 before having two children together, one son and one daughter. The family of four lived in a comfortable home in Phoenix, Arizona, and seemed like the perfect nuclear family, even completing the image with their pet, a golden retriever. And I do honestly feel like if you got a kid to like draw the perfect family, it'd be like mum, dad, boy, girl, yeah. Dog.
Yeah. Literally. Like, I think when you say like a stereotypical family, I do think that is kind of what everyone thinks about in their head. Like, obviously,
that's what a nuclear family is, isn't it?
That's, I think that, like, obviously, we know families come in all different shapes and sizes and whatever, but
I think, completely.
The stereotypical family is that mum, dad, boy, girl, dog.
I mean, I hope it would go without saying that we support, like, same-sex couples having families and everything.
Oh, God, yeah.
But, yeah, the traditional nuclear family. Yeah, yeah, yeah. As in the 1960s sense of it is.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Unfortunately, this perfect family life would all change on January 16th, 1997, when Scott stabbed his wife, Yarmila, 44 times with a hunting knife and then drowned her in their pool. Police were called to the family's home that night when one of their neighbours, Greg Coons, heard screaming coming from next door. Now, the source said that the neighbour peered over the fence to see Scott stabbing Yarmila and then going inside to change his clothes, but I'm not really sure how much I believe, perhaps, that they stood there and watched that entire thing.
Yeah.
Purely because, like, I'm not sure you'd stick around to watch your neighbour brutally murder their wife and then wait for them to change their clothes.
Like, and then go call the police, yeah.
Yeah, and I know there's fight or flight. No, like, for me, there is fight or flight. So, like, you'd either fight, intervene, stop, perhaps. That's obviously not the best way to go about it. You might get hurt yourself.
Yeah.
Or there's flight, i.e. run to safety and call the police. And I know there's also freeze, which might have been what they did here. But I just don't know if you'd freeze for that long. But that's what the report said, so I thought I'd, you know, include it.
Mm.
But then the report claims that the neighbour saw Scott calming their agitated dog before rolling Yarmila into the pool and holding her head under the water. So basically, according to the report, the neighbour heard a scream, peered over the fence and saw him stabbing Yarmila. He then calmed their dog that was barking, as you would expect, then rolled Yarmila's body into the pool and held her head under the water, left her in the pool. And then presumably went and changed his clothes and then sealed the knife, the hunting knife, and his clothes in a Tupperware container and hid them in the wheel well of his car. And just because I got a bit confused about this, when you say wheel well, I would have thought you meant like underneath the exterior, but they mean in the interior.
Okay.
Wheel well.
Yeah.
Wheel. I can't say that. Wheel well.
Okay. Yeah, I think I know what you mean.
Yeah. Police then arrived, Greg presumably was then able to call the police, and arrested Scott. He claimed to have been asleep the entire time. So, from this, I believe that obviously the neighbour must have seen a lot of it in order to know what had happened, because obviously there's only two people present, and one of them, unfortunately, is dead, and the other one is claiming to be asleep. But it's just... I don't know.
It sounds like a really
weird that you saw all of it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But then that's the only reason we know for sure, and there were no other suspects and no other, you know, we know the timeline of events.
Yeah.
But again, if one of them's claiming to be asleep and the other one's dead, then who's to say the neighbour can't? I don't know. I don't know. It's weird.
It's
I'm not saying the neighbour's lying either.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's a very weird situation. But also, if you saw someone sleepwalking... You wouldn't necessarily look at them straight away and go, oh, they are asleep. Or they're awake.
Yeah, you don't know that someone's sleepwalking.
Yeah, yeah. So he could have been
sleeping. Also, yeah. Also, I suppose, you know, to back up the neighbour a bit, you can easily peer over the fence, see what's going on, call the police, and you're naturally going to look out the window and keep an eye on what's going on and what's happening.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So that is perhaps, you know, perhaps it was just bad journalism and I've been bad at interpreting.
Yeah, maybe. And I wonder if he did have a bit of the fight, flight, or freeze. And he was a bit like, he's got a knife, he's got a weapon. I mean, you can't speculate on sizes of these men, but maybe he was a bit like, oh, he could easily kill me. So why would you put yourself in danger?
And I think we all like to say, yeah, we'd all like to think as well that we'd be the hero and jump in, but actually, would you? Like,
if someone had a knife, yeah. Like, yeah. If someone had a knife, really, would you?
But regardless, what transpired did, and this is what we know to have happened.
Yeah.
So when they arrested Scott, like I said, he claimed to be asleep the entire time, but he did admit that he must be the one responsible for the murder. So now the question that remained was not, was Scott the killer, but rather, was Scott actually sleepwalking? And if so, did this mean that he could not be held responsible for the murder of his wife of over 20 years? Or was he still responsible? Well, firstly, what is known for sure is that Scott Folletta was most definitely someone who sleptwalked, or at least had done at one point in his life.
Okay.
His sister Laura stated that she had once tried to wake him up when he was sleepwalking as a teenager, and that he reacted by throwing her across the room, which also proves that he could act aggressively while sleepwalking towards people he loved and meant no harm to.
Yeah.
Scott was also sent to a sleep disorders service and research centre after his arrest, where his brain was studied for 4 days by experts who did find abnormalities consistent with those of sleepwalkers. Scott had interruptions in the phases of sleep right before the dreaming stage, which I believe is called the REM stage, which is typical of those that sleepwalk. So, whilst we know that Scott did sleepwalk, or likely sleepwalk,
yeah.
I don't think the fact that he had those abnormalities meant that he definitely did. It just means that they can back up a bit.
Yeah.
That, like, he says he does. He's got these abnormalities.
It's not out of the realm of possibility. Said he did.
Yeah, so he at least once did at one point in his life.
Yeah, and he acted aggressively.
Yeah, which is quite interesting, isn't it? Because, however, I would argue that throwing someone across the room is a quick reaction.
Yeah.
And something that can be done, like, it's not a deliberate reaction. But
yeah,
not a deliberate action, but stabbing someone 44 times is quite deliberate.
Yeah, it's quite... An excessive amount, but
yeah, it's definitely
the pushing someone across the room. You can kind of be like, oh, that is kind of like an instinctive response if someone is coming up to you and you
don't expect it.
Yeah, you. Yeah.
So, prosecutors argued, however, that Scott wasn't sleepwalking and that this was all an elaborate ruse to get away with the crime. They stated that the fact that he was able to recognize his dog and even calm him during the time he stated he was asleep shows that he must have been able to recognise people and animals and therefore be aware of what he was doing. But some sleepwalking experts do say that you can't recognise human faces whilst you're sleepwalking. And I suppose if they're saying you can't recognise human faces, that doesn't mean you can't recognise animal faces.
Yeah, also, if, like, he is a dog lover... He might not have recognized it as his dog, but because he heard the bark, he might have been like, oh, it's a dog, like, pet the dog.
But then would you, I'm an animal lover, but if a dog that I don't know is barking, I probably wouldn't approach them.
Yeah, true. You don't know if they're aggressive or not.
Yeah. However, on the other side, one could argue that if he believed himself to be dreaming, whilst he may recognise people in his dream, if he didn't believe the events to be reality, then stabbing his wife would not have real-world consequences. Now, I know it might seem a bit messed up that he's having a dream that he's killing his wife in such a brutal way, but at the same time, I feel like we've all had messed up dreams.
Oh my god, like, yeah.
I mean, I just disclosed what my current nightmare is.
Yeah.
Like, that's messed up.
Like, I had a weird dream, like, quite a while ago. Nope, not the microphone. That we were on a family holiday and we were walking along a cliff's edge and my dad just randomly walked up to the cliff and jumped off.
Exactly.
Like, that doesn't mean I want my dad to jump off a cliff.
Exactly. So, whilst people might be like, oh, but the fact that he was dreaming about stabbing his wife 44 times shows that he hates her or something... Like,
not necessarily.
Not necessarily.
Like, can you control your dreams? Like,
no.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I would not have human remains in my house and I would not have hurt someone I care about.
Yeah.
I also would not have a French exam.
Yeah, why? Of all the subjects.
Yeah. So, prosecutors also stated that the fact that Scott went on to hide his clothes and the murder weapon in his car shows that he was awake, as this is thought out and methodic, which is something we know that dreams often aren't.
Mm.
The prosecutors theorised that Scott's plan was to leave Yarmila's body in the pool to be found the next day.
Sorry, you what? Definitely just said yeet. His plan was to yeet her body into the pool.
It came out wrong. I looked at her name as I was saying it.
I like you were just trying to like gloss over it, but then I just had like, not that it's funny, an image of him just being like, whoop, drop kicking her into the pool.
Oh, right.
Sorry.
That's fine. The prosecutors theorised that Scott's plan was to leave Yarmila's body in the pool to be found the next day by his children, or perhaps by himself, and it would look like an intruder had attacked her. However, the defence argued back that Scott actually kept clothes in his car for yard work, and so that this was somewhat a routine for him to place his clothes in his vehicle. Why in a Tupperware box? I don't know.
Yeah, and why in the car? Like, where it was? In the wheel well?
Yeah, I'm not sure. However, Scott kind of went against this narrative. Not against it, but Scott stated in the trial that he kept clothes in his car for emergencies. So this change in the narrative of reason, like this slight change, made people think it wasn't necessarily true. And okay. they'd not gotten their story straight.
Yeah.
Also, the fact that he didn't really have a motive to kill his wife. So there was no... Obviously, if I then came to you and said, but he was having an affair, everyone would be like, oh, okay. It was
he was
purpose.
Awake, yeah.
Or she was having an affair.
Yeah.
Or she had a massive life insurance.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You'd be like, that's what he was gaining from this.
That's a motive. Yeah.
Yeah.
But actually, it appears that the only arguments they had in life was that he worked too much and he wanted more kids and she didn't. That appeared to be their only
bugbear. I mean, if you don't... if you want more kids, you don't kill the person who's going to give them to you. So
yeah, and also, like, the fact that he works too much, I can't imagine the fights were massive about that. I know they sometimes are, but...
Yeah.
There's no reports that there was often fighting coming from the house or that they were unhappy.
Yeah, I mean, the neighbour obviously never did a domestic call-out for them.
Exactly. We're not going into when we discussed the case of Sarah Boone and there was loads of call-outs previously.
Yeah.
There's none of that here. So there doesn't seem to be a motive for him to do this. Prosecutors further argued that the screams of Yarmila and the frenzied barking of their dog would have woken Scott up during the attack. Using a sleep disorder expert, Mark Pressman, MD, as an expert, he backed up their claim that this indeed would normally wake a sleepwalker. And I suppose that is the other thing of... not only would this wake them up, but... I don't know. I've never tried to wake up someone who's sleepwalking, so I'm not really sure how easy
it is.
But you
shouldn't.
Would think... So that's actually a lie. There's no reason why you shouldn't. They'll be a bit groggy maybe, but it's not going to like give them a heart attack. No.
Yeah. So, but then I have also, like, I don't know if this happens to anyone else. Like, I've also had it where your alarm's gone off in the morning and instead of waking you up, it's just become like part of your dream.
Yeah. I've also definitely turned off alms and have no recollection
of it. While you're asleep, yeah.
I also, if I get too hot in the night and I've got a jumper on in bed, I take it off.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So, you are, you are capable of doing crazy
things. Doing things and not being aware.
Yeah.
But, if I had someone screaming as I'm stabbing them to death, and then a dog barking in the background because they're terrified of what they're seeing, I feel like that would wake me up. That's not going to become part of my dream.
Yeah, true. Yeah, that is quite...
I suppose I mean, I know that I've, and I think I've told this story before as well, but I know that I've fallen asleep to a Netflix program before and woken up because the characters were screaming, "Someone help us, he's being stabbed, he's bleeding." And that's woken me up enough to be like, oh my God, I need to help. And then I've realised it's a TV show.
Yeah. I fell asleep the other day and Aidan was watching a episode of Mayans. There was like a whole fight in gun scene and I didn't wake up.
Okay. So this is the thing. It all depends on how deeply you sleep.
But and again, I reckon if we're going off the assumption of sleep
but
you are
if
in.
We're going off the assumption that's well not the assumption what sleep experts say that you're not in a completely deep sleep when you're sleepwalking
it's very you
then
can
surely
see
it
why
would
this
wake
was,
you up
you can see why this was like a confusing difficult case to like believe
oh,
or not believe yeah
and I do think as well a lot of it hinges on your own personal experiences of how what you would wake up to.
Yeah, definitely.
Because I would say I sleep quite deeply, and yet when I fell asleep during the new Batman film, I woke up to gunshots and explosions.
Yeah. Whereas I didn't wake up to gunshots and explosions, but if Orla makes the slightest noise or movement or coughs, I'm wide awake.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I think mums would have a different experience of being light sleepers to dads or non-mothers.
Oh, 100%.
They say that you definitely sleep lighter since when you're a mum.
Yeah.
Like, even the deepest of sleepers will become light sleepers. So, ultimately, the jury decided that Scott Folletta was responsible for the murder of his wife, and after 8 hours of deliberation, they found him guilty of the murder of 41-year-old Yarmila Folletta. And he was incarcerated on January 20th in the year 2000. Scott would go on to say, "I have no memory of what happened. The one thing I do know is that I loved my wife. I've tortured myself 100 times with thoughts of what must have been going through her mind as she was being attacked by me. It had to have been terrifying, confusing, and a painful experience for her." And during his time in prison, he has been evaluated many times, as is standard, and has always been found to be a low or lowest risk prisoner for reoffending, though he remains in a medium security prison to this day. And it is where he will remain for the rest of his life, with Maricopa County Superior Court Judge Ronald Reinstein declining to impose the death penalty due to Scott and Yarmila's children's testimony that their parents had a happy marriage that was free of violence. And Scott's children have actually supported him throughout everything. They believe that their father did not intentionally kill their mother and state him to be a great father who they want to continue their relationship with. Yarmila's mother also told Judge Reinstein that she wants her grandchildren to continue having a relationship with her son-in-law too. And that is basically where we end our case for today. And like I said, it is quite a short one.
That is a very short one. I mean...
But that is... You can see why I wanted to cover multiple ones, but I just wasn't able to.
Fair.
Unfortunately. But, yeah, I think it's really interesting that the kids don't blame their dad.
Yeah.
And neither does the mother-in-law.
Yeah. Which makes me think, like, maybe they all knew that he was a sleepwalker and maybe they knew that he did have occasional violent tendencies when he was asleep,
or they just know that it's so out of character for him that they don't believe
that
he would intentionally do it. He must have been in another state, i.e. a sleep state.
That is crazy.
It's honestly one that I can't get my head around.
It's funny that he's been identified as like low risk and everything as well, like, but it's just 44 times is a very violent...
It's very personal, isn't it?
Yeah, to come from nowhere.
Because one of the defence's arguments as well that I didn't include was that they believe that he was outside in the yard. The garden? Outside in the yard.
Yeah.
Working on the pool filter, hence why he was outside.
Mm.
And then Yarmila came outside because she's like, "What are you doing?"
Yeah, fair enough.
Middle of the night, or it's late at night. I don't obviously know what time that he goes to bed. And he thought she was an intruder and so attacked her to defend himself and his home.
Yeah, fair.
Is what they believe he was
to
going
have
for
happened.
His head.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But the only thing I can't help but think is that 44 times is a very personal, frenzied attack for you to do on an intruder. Because surely you don't need to kill them, you just need to incapacitate them.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, there was quite a big time frame. Like, how old was he when this happened?
41 as well. So they're both 41.
And, so the kids are older, so I'm assuming the kids weren't home.
So I believe his daughter was 18 and his son was 15.
Okay. So it's not...
I think the daughter was away in college, I think.
Because I was like, maybe he thought, oh, I need to protect my family.
Mm.
And that's why it was so many times. But it is just... It's a lot, isn't it?
Mm. That's the thing that gets me every time. I think... Okay, let's say you can be violent whilst you're sleepwalking. Let's say he was sleepwalking. Let's say you can be violent whilst you're sleepwalking. Can you... Is your instinct to stab someone 44 times? Or is your instinct to get them on the floor and incapacitate them?
Yeah.
And I would assume that a lot of our dreams are not instinctual, but like have elements of our instincts within them.
Yeah. And then to put them in the pool as well. And hold them.
Yeah, he then held her head under. Again, if someone breaks into my house... First of all, I don't think I'd actually defend myself. I'd be like, take what you want and I'd hide.
But, take what you want, there isn't much.
Yeah, literally. But like, if someone broke into my house, I don't necessarily want to kill them, but I do want them to stop and be apprehended.
Yeah. Yeah, like, I'm not going to stab them 44 times and drown them in my pool.
Yeah, and while she might have startled him, she obviously would... unlikely, she's not going to have gone up to him and be like, what the fuck are you doing, bro? If they have a happy marriage, she's not going to be like, why are you fucking here at this
she's
time?
She's probably going to just be like, what are you doing? Like,
yeah,
why are you out
and obviously
here
obviously it's a dream, he's interpreted it differently.
Yeah.
But it just all seems very odd.
Yeah. The whole thing finish is so strange though, because even like the neighbour then watching...
Yeah, like we said, that just seems really weird to like stand there and watch. But again, they might not have included. And then I went back inside and watched from the window. Like,
yeah. Yeah, maybe.
Know, those bits aren't vital, so yeah, why true. Necessarily include them except for me sitting there and thinking, what? So you stood
why?
And watched the whole
what
thing?
Is that?
So yeah, like I said, it is a bit of a shorter case, but I did set out to include like a few different cases and then... I ran out of time because, again, I've worked a lot of hours this week, but I'm now off for Christmas. But yeah, so that is our first case of 2024. And whilst you might think, hey, why didn't you start out strong with like a really big, long case?
No.
Sometimes life does still get in the way. But it is 2024 and we are planning to make it up to you.
Yes. Yeah. We will promise to try and be better.
Yes, what she said. And let us know what you think. Do you think someone is capable of murdering someone whilst they sleepwalk? Do you think in this case he was asleep? And also let us know if you would like to hear another sleepwalking episode. Because I'm more than happy. This kind of fascinates me. So I'm more than happy to look into other cases. But if this is something that doesn't interest people... I don't want to.
then keep it
bring
to yourself.
You another one. So let us know if you'd like to hear more, and let us know your thoughts.
Yeah. Also, let us know if you have sleepwalked before,
and what your experiences are. Maybe don't confess any murders to us.
Yeah.
Because that puts us in a very awkward position.
If you've done something weird while you've been asleep.
That you didn't think you would be able to.
Let us know.
Or, you know, if you've ever slept through something really loud, let us know.
Yeah, we'd love to hear it.
And I guess all we've got left to say is...
I don't know if you can hear Orla, by the way. She's not being murdered. She is in the bath.
How dare you wash your child?
I know.
And I guess all that's left to say is thank you for sticking with us throughout the last year. Welcome to 2024. And
let's make it a good one.
Yeah. Stay safe. And as always, stay spooky. Hey guys, if you have a ghost story or a case suggestion, please email us truecrimecovenpod@gmail.com.
You can also find us on Twitter @truecrimecoven or on Instagram and Facebook where we are @truecrimecovenpod.
Also, it would mean the absolute world to us if you could rate us wherever you're listening to this right now, be it Spotify, Apple Music, or if you're on YouTube, give us a little thumbs up, click that bell, get notifications every time we post.
Subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts from.
Make these two witches smile.
Thanks, witches.
Sorry, Simon.